All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hello, Canucks fans. And welcome back to another episode of Canucks Conversation, brought to you as always by the 2024 Toyota BZ4X. The BZ4X is Toyota's brand new all-electric SUV that is designed to go the distance for you and your family. The BZ4X is packed with Toyota's coolest tech, but it still has that trusty SUV feel you know and love. And even though it's electric, it's capable of effortlessly conquering any terrain, whether it's rain, snow, mud, or your friend's questionable post-game recaps. The BZ4X will get you through it all. You know what else the BZ4X will get you through?
What?
A night in which the Vancouver Canucks took like 82 shot attempts, okay, and what, 16 of them hit the net.
Their plus 48 differential was the most since 2011 or 2010, I think it was. That's the stat. So, yeah, I mean, look, you were at the game, we watched it, and it wasn't pretty, to be completely honest. It started out not so good. The crowd was chanting Casey Dismiss' name. He gets scored, what, 19 seconds later?
Okay. And sorry, I should also tell you, Irfan Ghaffar in place for Harmon Dial.
I'm not Harmon.
David Quadrelli, and we're coming to you from the iconic Wall Center in downtown Vancouver. Looking for next meeting space? Contact the Wall Center for all your event needs at sales@wallcenter.com. Irf, last night when I wrote Instant Reaction, I was focusing on the crowd noise, right? Because I write as the game goes along. So I was like, man, it is buzzing in here. 8 minutes before warm-up, you've got a go Canucks, go chant going. That was the first playoff game I've ever covered. First NHL playoff game I've ever attended in my life, actually.
Was game two?
Yeah, I think I'm right on that. That's the first playoff game in the NHL that I've ever attended.
So you're 0-1?
0-1, yeah. I won't be back for the rest of the series, don't worry. But I wrote about the crowd noise. It seemed magical. I heard a super loud cheer for Casey DeSmith when he was introduced as the starting goaltender. The fans willing the starting goaltender, who's been thrust into this position that he didn't expect himself to be in, willing him to get the job done. And that first goal, a tip by Anthony Beauvillier. Puck looks like it's moving in slow motion. Look, I liked the Casey chant. Casey, Casey. I could get on board with that. And then that puck goes in. Kudos to the fans again, though, because the noise did not waver after that goal.
Yeah, the fans showed up, though. Like, you knew they were going to. Their team had a 1-0 lead in that series heading into the game. I understand the angst and the nervousness around Thatcher Demko and kind of what was going to be the situation there, but it was dismissed crease for the game. We knew that, obviously. He went in, and he has played well at times for the Canucks this season. his recent form, not so good. You know, he's losing four out of the last five before this start. I'm not putting this one on DeSmith, though.
No,
Neither did Rick Tocchet. He shouldn't. Casey was exactly what they needed him to be completely honest. It was everyone else around him that didn't, you know, up their games to the level that the Nashville Predators did.
Some friendly disagreement, some banter in the YouTube live chat early on in this one. We have Top G saying, hello, into Smith, I trust the guy was solid. And then Sam Wilson saying, what? DeSmith was terrible. Listen to Woodley and John Garrett break his game down. I'll help break his game down, because that first one, and I said this to everybody that I was in the press box with, the first one, and like, let's go through each goal, shall we?
Fine.
You want to do that, Irv?
Let's sure.
do it. The first goal. That's the only one on the night that I think you can pin on DeSmith. There were other hairy moments where I didn't like his rebound control. So was it a great start for Casey DeSmith? No. Was he fine? Yes. That's the exact word that Rick Tocchet used to describe Casey DeSmith's game last night. Was fine. He was fine. The Canucks aren't going to win with basically any goalie net if they score one goal against Nashville. Casey DeSmith is not the reason they lost last night. And ultimately, that's how we should look at the goaltending conversation, is Casey DeSmith did not lose them that game last night. Nashville may have had a little bit more oomph to their game, a little bit more belief in themselves now that they see that Casey DeSmith is in net for the rest of the series and not Thatcher Demko. I wouldn't be surprised about that, but this is another thing that I keep thinking about, Irf, is they can't block 30 plus shots for four more games in this series.
Yeah.
Like, they're not...
Can they? No, it's not... They can't. It's
guys
not
all,
the, not all the realm of possibility that they can.
You're right.
Are the Canucks going to miss the net that many times again? That one might be. That's a different question.
Yeah.
Right. The Preds are going to lay it all on the line, literally.
Yeah.
If they want to go and win this series, I mean, look, you mentioned the little extra oomph that they kind of had heading into the game, but the Predators, from their point of view, they didn't really care who was starting. They were down 1-0 in that series, and they were going to play their game no matter what. It's funny because Nar in the YouTube chat says the first goal is the most Canuck thing ever, which exactly is exactly
Anthony
that.
Anthony Beauvillier scored it. Right down to the goal scorer.
Yeah, I DeSmith kind of out, you know, not really positioned in the right place. Beauvillier scoring, you know, gets the team on the board. But I'm not really going to put the rest of them on DeSmith, to be completely honest. Like, I think now when you look at it, from a team perspective, they didn't find out until they were there for morning skate that DeSmith was starting. I think DeSmith might have known a little bit before they did, but the rest of the team really didn't know until they got there to know that it was DeSmith's crease. So there is that little bit, you know, where DeSmith hasn't played that well lately. You know, you have to play maybe a little bit harder for your backup goalie, which tends to kind of be the thing around backup goalies in the National Hockey League. He's not Thatcher Demko. You know, he's not a Vezina finalist. He's a good backup, has been a good backup this season. But this team, as assembled, minus the goalie, has the edge in pretty much most of the positions on paper.
I mean, last night showed that.
They were dominant territorially, right? They were good. They just couldn't score a goal. They couldn't get a shot through. And I think that when you look at it, Quads, is one of the most concerning things, because you miss that many chances.
Yes.
You get shots blocked. You miss the net. Like, you need to adjust yourself. You're a professional athlete. In-game adjustments game-to-game adjustments are being made, but you got to find a different way. You got to get in the kitchen of UC Saros and make his life miserable. You need to find different types of shooting lanes if guys are blocking shots.
We've talked about the importance of screenshots on this show. We've brought up the UC Saros' numbers against screenshots, and ultimately, that's what's going to beat UC Saros the most. But when you've got guys blocking the shots the way that Nashville are right now, you need to do more than get traffic. Because, hey, if guys are blocking shots, that's traffic. Like, that's traffic. They're not actively trying to screen their own goaltender, but they're still getting in front of the puck. That's traffic. Now you need to get the puck through that traffic. So how do you do that? JT Miller was asked about it. He talked about the importance of getting guys in front of the net, getting your own guys, and looking for those sticks. So, yes, you're not shooting right at the crest of the goalie. You're looking for those sticks of your guys to tip it around. Like, that's how you're going to get those. The slap passes. We saw JT Miller going for a lot of those last night. That's how you're going to get around them. And we'll hear from JT Miller in just a moment here. But you look at the way they played last night. They dominated territorially. Now, okay, you did that. You outplayed Nashville. How are you going to finish those chances? Because last night simply wasn't good enough from a finishing perspective.
Well, I think that's the biggest thing, right? I mean, you can dominate all you want and all the analytics can be pointed in your direction, but it's a 1-1 series going into hostile territory that is Nashville. So, like I mentioned, it is a game of adjustments. Rick Tocchet and his coaching staff are going to be doing that. They have a couple of days to do it, but the Canucks have all the pressure in the world right now, right? You know, you were supposed to be a team that beat this national team. You're supposed to take care of your home ice. You were dominant and pretty good in game one and being able to come back and win that hockey game. And you kind of lay an egg in game two and you give Nashville all the momentum and your star players aren't being your star players. Mm-hmm. Your role players were there in game one that guided you through that game. They weren't there in game two and neither were your star players. Now what?
Another part of this story I think that we have to mention, puck luck. Canucks had no puck luck last night.
Yeah, but sometimes you got to create your own puck luck.
Absolutely.
I get it. I really do. Yep. I 100% get the puck luck. Why is it not going in off someone's ass or why is it not going in, you know, taking a deflection or hitting someone going the right way?
Yeah.
But when you miss that many chances, when you're shooting into the shin pad of the guy in front of you and you're watching yourself do it, that's not trying to create your own luck.
Absolutely. Absolutely fair. And then, you know, you just look at all those chances that they had. 84 on the night. And how many of those came at even strength? Because even strength, yeah, 64 at even strength, 84 total, 84 to 36. The final shot tally was 18 to 16. In favor of the Canucks. Nashville scored on their only shot of the third period.
Into an empty net.
Empty net goal. Yeah, empty net goal. But that was their only shot of the third period.
And Philip Forsberg said that that's not a recipe for success if it's them. But the way that they played in that third period, you can harness that and bottle it up and maybe get some more shots or a little more offense. They're going to be a tough out. And then everyone said it going in. A lot of people slept on the Nashville Predators. I know they had the wicked run that, you know, it was tapered off a little bit as they got into the playoffs, but this team went on a run where they won a lot of hockey games in a row.
Yeah.
So they're not a team to be taken lightly. I mean, I think I had the Canucks in six, but, you know, looking at it now, I mean, 1-1 in this series and the way that game was played, it could be longer.
And we have this tweet from Jason Greger. Vancouver had 18 shots on goal last night. They also had 33 shot attempts blocked and 33 shots missed the net. Their 33 missed shots are the most in a regulation playoff game. You mentioned this since the NHL started tracking it in 2010. Their combined 66 blocked shots and missed shots are second most, only behind the 71 Carolina had versus those New York Islanders on Monday. The only difference, Carolina won that game 5-3 and had 39 shots on goal.
100 and something attempts, which is crazy.
Insane.
Look, it's a game of inches. It's puck luck. It's exactly what you said. But for the Vancouver Canucks, I mean, you know, Jeff and I talked about it on Rinkwide post game. What are you going to do? Like, what are you really going to do? Yep. Is it as easy as target practice? Are you putting the shooter tutor in net? Like, are you doing that? Are you putting, you know, pop cans? Are you tying them to the top corners of nets to try and hit them and things like that? No, you're not. These guys are professional athletes. They know exactly what they have to do. The game plan is going to be different. You're in a different building. You know, there's different things that come into play with line matching and things like that. I'm interested to see if the line combos are going to be a little bit different. I expect you're still going to see Lindholm, Joshua, Garland, but beyond that, I wonder if he touches his top two lines.
Two games now for Elias Pettersson and his line mates to be ineffective. Nils Höglander is a part of this story. Elias Pettersson is a big part of this story, and we are going to talk about him in the second segment. But first, let's hear from JT Miller, who spoke last night. JT Miller's always has interesting things to say. Here is JT Miller last night talking about a number of things, but I found all of this very interesting, so we'll just play all of it, the full 2 minutes here.
Yeah, they play well. They did what they had to do at least to win the game. And we had a couple breakdowns that put us behind eight ball, and then they're comfortable sitting on the lead and blocking a lot of shots, so.
There seems to be a reluctance to shoot the puck. We're always overhandling it. What are you seeing out there?
I see a yellow jersey in the way. So I can say shoot every puck for sure. But we got some good players that make the play that's in front of us, and we can start blasting, get up in the 40s and 50s into them. But sometimes there's guys in the way, and they're trying to play a defense against us, so it's hard.
You still think you need that one on the power play to really get that power play going for you again?
That power play could have done it for us today. I mean, we had a lot of chances 5-on-5 that just missed. We need to break through, and we still had a couple. I mean, we still had some off the post. PD had the one. It's not all bad, passing up a couple shots here and there, but, you know, they got bodies in the way sometimes, and it's hard. I mean, that's the difference. They got... You know, I feel like we didn't give them hardly anything today, and they made their our mistakes count, and we didn't.
So when you see so many yellow jerseys blocking shots, I know it's a simple question, I don't know if it's an easy answer. How do you get them through them?
You got to get layers at the net, and you got to find the sticks, and it's hard to do. And we had those moments today. We just didn't capitalize. So it's not all bad. Controlled a lot of play again. You know, we just need to bear down and keep having numbers at the net, and let's not get off Canucks hockey to go try to find goals. Because if we stay with it, they'll come.
JT, look like you attempted
one over there, guys. If you want to get him.
JT, look like you attempted a lot of slap passes today. How tough are those to finish and execute?
Well, that's why I'm slap passing, because there's Matt Ryan McDonough's in the way every single time. Yeah. So I mean, it's we had good looks off of those. Not going to work every time.
Ryan McDonough's in the way every single time. That's the money quote for me. Former teammate of JT Miller's when they were both in Tampa Bay. Ryan McDonough is in the way every single time. The quote,
and he's doing his job.
Absolutely, he is. And Ryan McDonough, like, again, not to pump his tires too much, but he's had a really good year, really good series as well. He's been really good in game one, game two.
Yeah. That pairing's been great all season long, him and Yossi.
Absolutely. So where do you want to go from that Miller quote? Because the traffic in front and talking about the slap passes is the thing that I really wanted to hone in on. I feel like we talked about it quite a bit, but how do you get around that?
Look, for him, he said it's hard. You know, guys out there blocking shots. Every time you look to take a shot, it's a yellow jersey. Well, it's do something different. It's creating different chances. It's maybe moving the puck a little bit more. I mean, we talked about it off the top of the show. Their 5-on-5 chances were there, right? Yeah. And it's, you know, making the simple play as opposed to the extra play, especially on their power play. JT Miller talked about it, the power play, right? The power play could have done it for them tonight. It didn't. The first two games, their power play hasn't been good. And to be completely frank with you, I've said this before and I've said it 100 times, Connor Garland on the power play isn't the answer. Hmm. I think when the Canucks have a man advantage and Connor Garland has the power play, the defense is looking at Connor Garland and they're giving him that one-timer if they want it every single time. It's a NBA player giving a center a shot at the top of the three-point line. Yeah. They're saying take it because they know he's not going to. So then it's almost a 4-on-4. And with those four that are there, basically, they're looking for the easy shot. It's Elias Pettersson, Quinn Hughes, JT Miller, and Brock Besser that are passing the puck amongst each other and nobody's shooting. Brock Besser had a lot of power play goals this season. Where do they all come from?
Right in front of the net.
Right? It's simple. And yes, the shots aren't getting through, but you create traffic and you get a shot off instead of making that extra pass or that fancy play or trying to play the finesse on the power play. It's shoot the puck. You know how they scored yesterday? Nikita Zadorov got the puck and he shot it.
Yep.
It was an open shot, but he shot it and it went in.
I love Zadorov's game last night.
He was great in game one. He's been their best defenseman. Yep. I mean, obviously Hughes, but he's up there among their best, one of their better players in this series. Yep.
Okay, anything else you want to get to before we dive in on the Elias Pettersson angle of this game? And we keep talking about the game, but is there anything like any big picture stuff? Like we've talked about Casey DeSmith. We've talked about the pucks in traffic. And back on to Smith, for those that haven't seen it, we've seen various reports now that Thatcher Demko is going to be out the rest of this series and could be out for all of round two as well. So that might be the worst case scenario for the Canucks. Tyler Myers also wasn't in that game. Grady pointed this out in our little chat here. Tyler Myers wasn't in that game. He was sick with the flu. Tockett did confirm that he will travel with the team. The team traveled today. They've already traveled. So Myers is with them. Hopefully he's feeling better.
Yeah. I mean, I would assume that Tyler Myers is going to get back into the lineup and Noah Juulsen will probably be the one coming out. Tough night for him.
Tough night.
You know, he took a couple bad penalties, made some errors, hit a couple people, but it just wasn't good enough. One more thing on the Demko front. You mentioned that. It could be out for as long as round two. I mean, if the Canucks end up heading all the way to the Western Conference final, I think that may be even a stretch. So we'll see what happens, but it's an interesting one to keep an eye on. But I think for the Canucks focus and the focus of people watching this and the fan base is the goaltending. You can't worry about it anymore. It's just Smith's crease. It's guys in front of them now. They're gonna have to up their game that much more. And I think, you know, the chances and the shooting and everything is going to come to a head if they don't do it in game three. So you mentioned Elias Pettersson, the postgame show last night with Jeff Patterson on Rinkwide was all Elias Pettersson. And in my opinion, Quads, when I look at this, I don't know if people thought that there was some magical button that was going to be pressed for Elias Pettersson to jump into this player this superstar player as soon as game one hit, because he has a lot of family in town, because there's a lot of fans, because it's the first playoff game in Vancouver. He was bad before. He wasn't in form. He has one goal in his last 15 games. Before that, he has two goals against the Buffalo Sabres, and everyone said that Pettersson's back. Well, that's the Buffalo Sabres. This is the Nashville Predators, and this is the NHL playoffs. I like what Rick Tocchet said kind of a little bit. He was protecting him. He's young. This is his first taste of pressure. He's 25 years old.
Take the kid gloves off.
He's 25 years old. He just signed a contract over $90 million. Yes, hasn't kicked in yet, but he is going to get paid that much money. He had seven attempts, you know, missed, or seven attempts blocked. I think it was two missed the net. One, the most glaring, was obviously the empty net. And I know he owned it, and I know he said that he needed to be better. But sometimes actions are going to speak a lot louder than words, and he's had a lot of words lately.
Let's hear from Rick Tocchet. Rick Tocchet spoke about Elias Pettersson, and this is what he had to say postgame.
A young kid, you know, this is his first kind of taste of pressure playoff thing, and you know, this is good for him. He's got to learn that you know, he's got to dust himself off and be ready for game three, and he's got to be very decisive with the puck. I want to see him shoot the puck. Like, he's got to take it. I think it'll be fine. I mean, this is good for him. Good learning lesson.
So, in fairness to Rick Tocchet, what I gather from his quote and, you know, the full context, like when he says, "Yeah, he's a young kid," I feel like he's more so referring to the fact that, yeah, he's a young star player in this league who has never played actual playoff games in his life. Like, that's how I kind of look at that quote.
Neither's Quinn Hughes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Neither's Brock Besser.
Yeah.
If you're going by, you know, those things. Right? Oh no, did Brock play? No, Brock didn't play.
No, Brock.
Yeah, no, heavily not. And neither are a lot of other guys on this roster. Another player who's a complete ghost is 21. Yeah. What's Nils Höglander doing? He's got a 24 goal score in the National Hockey League. You're having Louis Eriksson stats.
Yeah. He's not even winning puck battles right now.
Well, that I think is the most glaring thing, because for so much of this season, his teammates loved playing with the guy. Yep. Guys hated playing against him. He was that pit bull type of player that was all over guys. He would get in on those puck battles and do things. The playoffs are a different animal, and he has not been that old animal he was in the regular season. His stat lines are 0-0-0-0. Go on and on and on.
Sam Mitchell.
Yeah, exactly. It really is. I mean, you mentioned Sam. Sam Lafferty was their big shot guy after the first period with two. Sam Lafferty, Ian Cole, and Pia Suter had the shots for the Canucks after the first period. And the Canucks had two power plays and some. I mean, if that's not a glaring, like Grady, I really don't know where you go from this. I mean, we're leaning towards game three here, but there's so much to take away from game two.
Well, just on Lafferty, he had that one net drive where he went wide and then tried to tuck it around Saros, and the puck just, you know, he lost it. And that just kind of sums up where that offense is. And yes, Pettersson needs to be better, but playing him with guys like Höglander and Lafferty right now, who just aren't giving, you know, a lot to work with, it makes it difficult for him. And listen, no denying Petey has to step it up. He had glorious chance after glorious chance, like that pass to Garland last night when he had, you know, all the room to shoot, and he saucers it to Garland's shin pads. And then he had that other wide open net, and then he had that one that he missed the side of the net. Like, Pew Suter had a couple chances, you know, Brock Besser, the Dakota Joshua, on and on and on. And, you know, you can say that, yeah, puck luck, this and that. But at the end of the day, you got to find a way to put the puck into the net.
Create your own puck luck.
Yeah.
As Irv said.
Yeah. Someone in our chat just said, you can't say 40 needs to be better because he makes 12 million, then say Höglander needs to be better because he makes 1.1, but Höglander is paid to be a third liner. It doesn't matter. They both need to be better is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Like, when we say they need to be better, we're not like, so that we can feel good about ourselves. They need to be better so that this team can win games. Like, that's the context of everything we're saying here. When we say a player needs to play better, we're talking about the context of winning a game in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Like, let's be crystal clear there. Let's be crystal clear.
And I think if you look at it, if we're going by the context of what players are being paid, okay, we look at it. Elias Pettersson he doesn't make it yet. However, if that's the case, why isn't he driving? Why is he the guy that needs better wingers? He should be driving his own line. He should be the driving force of that line and making everything happen. He's not.
Absolutely. And it's the conversation that we end up always having.
nine shot attempts, not a single one on goal last night.
Yep.
Yeah. Jeez.
I like this comment from Mr. Kobe Irf. You'll like it too.
Quads and Earth together after a loss are perfect. Pure vibes and daggers. Harmon, bless his soul, isn't around to be a voice of reason.
No, but like, look, there is ways to be a voice of reason. It's 1-1 in this series. They're not down.
No.
Right? And they dominated 5-on-5. You know, they're other than Elias Pettersson, you know, they're and a couple bounces here or there. You know, the Canucks are still in this series. They didn't lose the series by losing game two.
Sorry, continue. Yeah.
No, I'm fine.
Well, here's a loaded question for you. That's going to be a real thinker. Do the Canucks win this game with Thatcher Demko in net? Last night's game, do they win it with Thatcher Demko in net? I say, aside from the idea that I brought up earlier that Nashville maybe had a little bit more belief in themselves and belief that they can win this damn thing, aside from that, win this game if they score one goal and have 80 whatever shot attempts and 18 hit the net.
If the Nashville Predators were committed to blocking 100 shots last night, regardless of who was in net, they were going to block 100 shots last night.
Yeah.
That was their game plan going in. They didn't give a you-know-what who was in net. They didn't care if it was 35 or Casey DeSmith. All they cared about is what they had to do to leave Vancouver tying this series at one game apiece. This one's on the Canucks.
Yeah.
It really is. It's fascinating to see just the difference of the gameplay in 1 and 2. And that's not because who was starting in net.
Absolutely.
That's because it was the guys in front of them.
So that goes back to what I said yesterday. I was one of the few people saying I'm not panicking because Casey DeSmith is in net. That happening, it's not great. Casey Smith is not Thatcher Demko, but that's not the end of your series. Like, that's not the end of the series. That's not why they lost last night. So I think it's interesting to bring that up. Okay, let's get to a quick break. And I think we still have to talk about Elias Pettersson a little bit. I think we still have some conversation.
Sure.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
But we're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to tell you about a couple of our sponsors. The first one is the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Each game day, answer 4 questions. Pick the winning team. Guess if points will be over or under, predict the first goal, and choose the highest scoring period. Daily winners snag gift cards while each round's champs pocket cash. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess. It's fast, it's fun, and it's all about hockey. Let's go. I'm going to tell you about our friends over at Four Winds Brewing, more specifically, the Four Winds Featherweight IPA. If you're looking for a nice hoppy beer but still want something light and flavorful, then look no further than the Four Winds Featherweight IPA. At just 4.5%, this incredibly light IPA is packed full of tropical and citrusy goodness. Available now at liquor stores across BC or through the Four Winds online shop for home delivery anywhere in BC at fourwindsbrewing.ca. Okay, we can get to anyone else very shortly, but I still think there's something to be said with the whole Elias Pettersson conversation, because Tocchet spoke about the urgency of shooting the puck. Elias Pettersson looks like, if you were like, okay,
we're going to give you an option. You can skate around the ice 10 times. We're going to make you bag skate, or you're going to have to shoot 5 pucks. Petey would take the bag skate. Like, that's what it feels like right now. It feels like he doesn't want to shoot the puck at all. He's double clutching. He's looking for passes when he has open nets. That's unlike him.
Yeah. Well, I think the biggest thing is when you look at it, look, let me go back to my point that I made earlier. Like, if people thought there was some magic button that was going to be pushed, it just wasn't going to be there. He hasn't been in form for quite some time. Now, is he battling an injury? Maybe not. The book on Elias Pettersson is he doesn't like to be leaned on, right? Mm-hmm. And the book on the Vancouver Canucks is if you play a big, physical, heavy game against this Vancouver Canucks team, you know, your chance of winning is a little bit higher. And is that especially goes for a guy like Elias Pettersson. I know he throws a reverse hit. I know it looks cool, and I know he gets involved physically. The Canucks don't need Elias Pettersson to get involved physically every single game. They don't need him making those hits and things along the boards. They need him to do is stand in that corner where he's done for so long and where he made his money and shoot the hockey puck. And it's unfortunate, and he's too good of a player to not be able to do that. And I think he's got to figure it out over the course of the next 2 days, maybe going on the road, maybe getting into a building where fans are going to talk all sorts of smack to you during warmup before you get on the ice, where you're going to be hated. People aren't going to like you. Might do a good thing, because here, maybe the pressure is getting to him a little bit, right? Maybe it is something like that. But I, for 1 second, don't think it's not because he doesn't care. I do know that he deeply does care about winning and for things sure. like that. But there's a lot of other things that have to go into consideration, right? It's the big physical, different type of game. It's the playoffs. He's never seen this before. But going back to it, what it is, you know, you're one of the team's best players. You're part of this core group. You just can't have efforts like you did the last few nights.
Yep. This team's already without Thatcher Demko, who's a very important player. They can't also be without Elias Pettersson at his best. Okay, you want to get to anyone else?
Yeah, but people are going wild. Okay, yeah, let's do it. Get to anyone
else. So we'll get to anyone else, because that's why I said
that's why
that.
I get it. Yeah, so wild.
You start looking. Get ready to read.
Don't
you
be worried.
Get ready to read what you want, because there's a lot in there. But it's time for anyone else. Presented by the Vancouver Canadiens. The Seas are back at the net. Catch fireworks, giveaways, Friday Nooners, and superstar appearances all spring and summer long. Get your tickets at CanadiansBaseball.com. The Seas are giving away a record 33 giveaways this season. This includes 6 koozies giveaways for the first 6 Saturdays of the season from all of their beer partners, and a giveaway every Sunday for Family Fun Sunday for kids 12 and under. The Seas open up a new homestand on Tuesday, April 23rd, which means they're also playing today. Don't miss the Nooner at the Nat on Friday the 26th or Family Fun Sunday on the 28th. For tickets, call 604-872-5232 or go to CanadiansBaseball.com. All right, Irv, what you got for me?
Brendan Murray, people forget so quickly how good of a player Petey is.
Yep.
He's slumping hard and it's hard to watch him, but let him cook for a bit. Here's the thing. He's the chef and he's not cooking. He has no ingredients to cook.
Okay, so Brendan.
They're stale.
I like the comment, Brendan. I like.
So do
comment.
I love the comment. It's great. They're stale. Yeah, his ingredients are stale.
Let's say you go to a restaurant. Let's
this is going to go so completely off the rails. I already know, but there we go.
Let's use the analogy. Okay. Let's say you go to a restaurant. Okay. And you order your food. And the chef says, yep, I'm a world-class chef. And he brings you out something bad. And you say, you know what? Can you go back in the kitchen and cook this again? I want to let you cook.
Yeah.
And he says, yeah, you know what? You're right. And he comes back 20 minutes later. Now you've been there for an hour and he brings you something bad. And then he does that, I don't know, 4-5 times. And then you say, you know what? It's too late. I don't want the food anymore.
Okay.
There's my analogy. If you let, okay. And I like where the comment is coming from, but this idea of relax, let Elias Pettersson cook.
No, it's not time to relax.
How much time playoffs. Does he have to cook?
That's the thing.
He's got 3 games left to cook, Murph. Like, they lose 3 more games, it's over. And then what's he cooking? Nothing.
He's got this whole team's going to be cooking up excuses for what happened.
Yeah.
I don't think, I've said this before and I'll say it again, I don't really think it's his wingers. I think it's, if you're that good of a player, you need to generate things yourself. I don't think you can touch the Lindholm, Garland, Joshua line, because that basically by production is your second line right now. I think that a lot of talk was made about Elias Lindholm. I'm going to give him his flowers here, because when they made the trade, that was the Canucks big. Yes. We're all, this is our move. And he didn't play well. He got hurt. His wrist was bothering and probably still is bothering him a little bit. But after game 1, Greg Tockett, this is why you acquire guys like Elias Lindholm. Great in the faceoff circle, good on the penalty kill. Hopefully he gets an opportunity on the power play at some point. Has a goal. Saros probably should have had it. But you know what? He shot the puck and it went in.
Yeah, which is novel concept.
It's a novel concept. He shot the puck on net and it went in. So I think when you look at it, you can compare those two players all you want. And, you know, a lot of people are saying Elias versus Elias. Elias Pettersson needs to find his game, and then he needs to find his game desperately here.
Desperately. Like that's
blocking,
a good word.
Like blocking pucks the Nashville Predators did desperately.
Yes.
He needs to find it, right? And look, we've said for a very, very long time, when, you know, when this core group was kind of assembled, this team is going to go as far as Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes are willing to take them. Quinn Hughes is going to take them to the promised land, but he needs Elias Pettersson to be there too. JT Miller, obviously, in that as well. And, you know, you mentioned Thatcher Demko. He's not going to be with this team for a while. So it's those three guys and then the supporting cast of players around them. But those three guys aren't going every single night. You're going to be in trouble.
Yeah. This one from Kamesh. I like this. It is so hard to defend PD with the highlights from last night. Your dog, PLD. I know you're not on every show. I really don't like Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, you do know that.
I know that.
Good. I have told a few people.
But he's right, because on that first goal, he doesn't get... Now, Quinn Hughes falls on the ground. That doesn't help. But he has to get to the boards and get that puck out. Then he gives the puck away.
That was his only point of the night, was the primary assist on the Nashville goal.
Yeah,
right? This comment.
He doesn't tie up Sissons when Sissons is crashing the net, and he has way too easy of a path to tap that puck home.
So it's not even... exactly, Grady. It's not even the lack of scoring, it's the lack of engagement right now, and the lack of just everything that we've known Elias Pettersson to be so good at. He's not doing it right now. And Kamesh, like I was saying, he pointed out that PLD has more points in the first round than Elias Pettersson. That's a tough one.
Yeah, you're not the only one that doesn't like Pierre-Luc Dubois. There's a couple of teams didn't like him either, so
teammates, coaches, everybody.
But He has more points in the first round.
Hey, at least Petey was more noticeable last night. It was just for the wrong reasons, right? Like, he was engaged, but not in the right way you would have hoped.
Okay, I'm going to get to this one from Sniper. Last night, and I tweeted this out because I heard it. It was very brief. Last night, the crowd started a shoot the puck chant, and seconds later, Zadorov came onto the ice, and the first thing he did was shoot. Coincidence? As someone who was there, as a person who tweeted out, I will say it was a coincidence. I don't think the chant had started until after Zadorov got on the ice, and Zadorov was shooting all night. Like, that wasn't Zadorov's first shot attempt of the night. He had a mentality, and so did Ian Cole. You saw it. Those guys were getting the puck. They were shooting it on net as best they could. Zadorov obviously finds the net, and great, then that stare down of the Nashville bench.
Great screen by Lafferty in front. Again, blocker side on Saros from the point. Right. Screens. That's the book, right?
That's what's gonna get it done.
Zadorov was funny because after the game, I think he said he stared down the Nashville bench looking for the guy that talks, you know,
talks some smack.
But you know, you can talk smack when you're up.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? It's hard to talk when you're down.
Dude. Right.
And I get the stare down, which is kind of cool, but you're still down in that hockey game.
Anybody who played any level of sports, you know that the number one chirp that you can't come back from is whenever your opponent says something to you and you're winning, all you have to say is scoreboard.
Yeah,
scoreboard, bud. That's the, what are they going to say? No, I'm not looking at the score. Like,
unexpected goals, we're winning.
No, and a lot of them aren't smart enough to know that, so.
Okay. Smiley, hello. PD even blocked a shot for Nashville. That's not even one that we're tallying.
Yeah, that's okay. True.
Anything else that you wanted to get to on PD before we get to, I don't know.
Look, I get paid to cover this and talk about this team as we all do sitting here. I want the Elias Pettersson narrative to go away. Right. I think that a lot of people watching this team and cover this team kind of want that to go away either. I don't want to sit here after games with Jeff Patterson and all we have in our YouTube chat and all our socials is where's 40. Here's my question. If Elias Pettersson scores and is effective in a loss, does the narrative go away? I don't think it does. I think he needs to be dominant and they need to win a hockey game for it to go away, just based on the way that this market's kind of been all over him.
And you know what, Irv? This is an interesting conversation because it goes back to what we were just saying about how this player needs to be better. it's not about individual success, especially at this time of year.
I agree. I wholeheartedly agree. So, but I don't think the narrative would go away even if they lose
no,
it.
No.
And, oh, yeah,
so,
I agree.
So
with
that's
that.
What I'm saying. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So that's what I'm saying is even if he plays well, who gives a crap? Like, nobody cares. You didn't win the game. Last night, do they win the game if Elias Pettersson plays better individually? I'm going to say yeah.
Probably.
And how different is that game if he scores to make it 1-1? Leaving the first period.
Well, even he said it. He puts that one in the net. It's a yeah. whole different
totally
game. You have all the confidence in the world going into the second
period.
I mean, and that's another thing. His confidence is just absolutely shot.
Yeah.
And you can tell. And it's evident, right? You know,
the body language.
The body language is a big thing, Grady, for sure. And I think the Quinn Hughes missing of the pass, and he kind of put his head up. And then after the goal, you know, the camera's going to be on him every single time because of who he is and what he's done for this team. So, with great power comes great responsibility.
Yep.
And Elias Pettersson has to accept that responsibility as they head into game 3 here in Nashville. And you just hope and can only wait and see if he can turn it around. Because the only person, no matter what type of pep talk that he gets from Rick Tocchet or whoever his friends are or his agent or anything like that, they're not on the ice with them. Mm-hmm. And they're not the one that's pulling the trigger on those shots.
And this team is going to live and die with what Pettersson does out there, right? Like, they can get by some games without his production. They can lean on Miller, they can lean on Hughes, they can lean on that third line. But what did he say when throughout all the contract saga he wants to play for a winning team? That was high on his priority list, and he's got to step it up. There's no denying that if they want to be a winning team when it matters most in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, they won game one.
Yep.
Right. They won game one, and we were sitting here post game talking about how much they won and how the secondary scoring was good. We did have a brief conversation about Elias Pettersson and his lack of production, but no one cared because they didn't win.
That's right.
Now, when you lose and you don't produce, it's worse.
And again, like, I love what you brought up about if he scores and they don't win. Yeah, no one cares. No one's gonna care. Just like
no one cares.
Just like very few people cared when he was quiet and they won the game. This one from Stancy. I'm curious to get your thoughts on this, Irv. Besser and Miller should get some flack too.
Yep.
Goals win games.
Mm-hmm.
Can't just give credit for the other things that they do.
100%. Look, Brock Besser's a 40-goal scorer in the National Hockey League now. JT Miller is a guy that's, you know, been here and signed the big contract. He's a 100-point guy for the first time in his career and takes all the blame. You know, JT Miller said that every time that, you know, they went to look and take a shot, there's a yellow jersey in front of him. Well, it's your job to now figure out to get out of the way and not have a yellow jersey right in front of you. You got to give the Nashville Predators credit. They executed their game plan to perfection, including the only shot of their third period being an empty net goal. But when you look at it, it's everyone, right? In losses, you're going to critique everyone. Elias Pettersson gets the brunt of it because it just looked bad.
Yeah.
But JT Miller wasn't very good. Neither was Brock Besser. The third line of Dakota Joshua, Elias Lindholm, and Connor Garland was really non-existent either. So when nobody's performing, you go to the guy that's been the whipping boy for a long time, and that has been Elias Pettersson, because his lack of production for so long, people are getting frustrated with it because it's now in the playoffs and it means a lot more. Elias Lindholm scored, so that kind of goes away, right?
Yeah.
He scored after game one. Dakota Joshua had a 2-goal game. He's been playing well since he's
hit
come back
the post
from injury.
Last night, too.
Yeah, but he hit the post last night, but where was he other than that on the hitting post?
Absolutely.
The puck doesn't go in, right? It's a game of inches, and unfortunately, we have to sit here and talk about this loss for another couple of days, but it's only up to those guys to be able to go and right the ship.
Not to pick out individual guys' games and pick everybody apart, because I think there were a lot of guys that had bad games, but like JT Miller, when he's talking in that post-game press conference, very careful to use the term we
yep.
didn't do this, we didn't do that. I think he even said we didn't finish the slap passes, and he was talking about slap passes that he was delivering himself, so he left himself in. But Pia Suter, prime opportunity. The puck got deflected off a Nashville stick, I think, so it kind of jumped up on him. But that was the one that really stood out to me as being like, oh, that should have been a tally for the Canucks, and that should have brought them, I think that would have brought them back within one with 10 minutes to go.
I wonder how long that Pia Suter experiment's going to last, because you saw the Lotto line get reunited twice, a few times in game on offensive zone faceoffs.
Yep.
And then you saw it happen with about 12 and a half minutes left of the third period. They put the top line back together to try and get something going.
And hell, even a defensive zone draw in the final minute of the first as well.
They had to do something, right? Yep. So I wonder if there's going to be some lineup changes. I don't suspect that Lindholm line is going to move, but maybe Hoglander goes up to play with JT Miller. Maybe there's something different there.
Elias Pettersson's got to figure it out on his own. And, you know, we're going to beat this until, you know, beat this horse until he's absolutely dead, to be completely honest, and until he does go out there and have himself a game and the Canucks do win. But I would expect there to be maybe some lineup changes. Maybe Vasily Podkolzin comes into the lineup.
Interesting.
Right. I don't know if it's going to be an offensive role, but maybe in that bottom 6-4 group, because if you're just going out and hitting guys like the Canucks were doing yesterday, he does a better job of that than Phil DiGiuseppe does.
Yep.
So why not have him into the lineup?
Yep. And Harmon and I both agreed with that, that we wanted him in yesterday. We wanted to see him in the lineup. But it's interesting to consider lineup changes, and we don't know yet. The Canucks are practicing later today, so we will be able to talk about it hopefully tomorrow. But I wanted to get to a couple more questions.
Yep.
This one from Kamesh. I know there are rumors that Petey is injured. Is there any truth to this? We have heard all year that Petey's banged up.
Yeah.
He's asked about it. He says, nope, I'm fine. Nope, I'm fine. Players always say that. I would be shocked if at the end of the year, when players come clean about all their injuries and share what's going on, that Elias Pettersson doesn't have something going on. And Jeff Patterson pointed out last night, you said, that Petey was taping his wrist
on the bench just before the power play to start the period. Look, I think that we'd be naive to think that every player was 100% healthy across the board as
just
you head into the playoffs.
Day as well, yeah. Right.
Well, I think that's the biggest thing. The more maintenance days, right, are you want Elias Pettersson to be out there on the ice.
Yep.
Like you want him to be practicing. You want him to, for a guy that's struggling as much as he is on the ice, wouldn't you want him on the ice more than off of it?
Yeah.
In a practice situation, there's that maintenance day he had before the game against the Anaheim Ducks. There was some rumor that he wasn't going to play, and then he did end up playing that game against the Ducks. So obviously there is something bothering him. And even after the season, Quads, we talk about guys coming out revealing their injuries. Elias Pettersson's not going to make an excuse, right? Yeah. Elias Pettersson's not going to make an excuse for himself or whatever it is. But the fact of the matter is. He needs to be better, but the rest of the team also needs to be better.
I like this one. Everyone is banged up. Don't care. Yeah. Another excuse. Here's another thing. Philip Forsberg missed morning skate yesterday.
He also scored a goal.
He also scored a goal. There you go. Yeah. Gnar. PD's usual public defenders are taking the day off today. I wouldn't say that, but Carmen as well. He ain't that banged up to be missing open nets. Buddy has no confidence. And yes, that's all it comes down
to. Well, I think that's the biggest thing. Jesse says, is elevating your line mates a skill in itself that is different from just being a good player yourself? If so, is it difficult to quantify who drives play on any given line to what degree? So this is the one that we had this conversation about Hughes and Roenick.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
At the beginning of the season, Philip Roenick was putting up a lot of points because he was playing with Quinn Hughes and the Canucks power play was cooking. But for Elias Pettersson, I think that, you know, the narrative around him is from this fan base is he signs the big deal. He needs to be able to produce on his own. Like we shouldn't be looking for Elias Pettersson to have better wingers for him to go out and perform. He needs to go out and perform himself.
Absolutely. This one from Jesse as well. Is the Lotto line mixing in their talk at trying to appease Petey being stuck with lesser wingers the rest of the time? I really don't think it's that. I don't think it's about Pettersson.
Not at all. I think it's about trying to score a goal and win the hockey game, and those are your three best players.
Yep.
Offensively, those are your three best players.
I wonder if we're going to get a line shakeup, man.
Like, I think you're going to see
you
something.
You think we will? Eh?
I think we will. I don't know. I definitely do think they will. Rick Tocchet is supposed to speak to the media in Nashville around 4:30 our time. Obviously, he's not going to say anything about the lineup.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see at practice tomorrow what the lines are like. And lines in practice and lines in games are two different things. It's the playoffs, so be expected for the unexpected.
We will see. Okay. We got a little bit of time here.
Yes.
Anything else you wanted to get to about the Canucks or this game? Like, did you want to poke around the league? Because Harmon and I have been talking about for days that we were going to talk about the other series. We have not mentioned a single other series on any of our shows yet.
Don't think William Nylander's playing for the Leafs in their home playoff game against the Boston Bruins. So that'll be an interesting one. It's the injury that everyone's kind of curious about in Toronto. And obviously things are magnified to an obscene amount in Toronto. So that's another star player that's out. The Leafs did win. Their superstar was on the score sheet in Austin Matthews. So that's a good one to have for the Toronto Maple Leafs to get some confidence going back in. And then you play tonight, then you don't play again until Saturday at home. Vegas-Dallas is interesting, right? Because that series, both those teams are going to beat the hell out of each other. Jack Eichel didn't have a shot on net in Vegas, in that Vegas win. The dude gets six a game. He
He didn't have a shot on net. So I think the Dallas Stars may take this one tonight at home against Vegas, but Vegas isn't going to go away. Mark Stone scoring so early in that hockey game.
Yeah.
Everyone talking about, you know, what the cap. But yeah, I mean, the Vegas Golden Knights team, if they get rolling, they're going to be really tough to stop.
My prediction of Bruins in four is over.
Yeah, it's definitely over.
Bruins in five, though.
What do you have for this series, the Canucks and Nashville series?
In five.
Okay, so they got to win four straight.
But you know what's interesting?
Or three straight, sorry.
Because I think about this, and if I were a lesser man, I could come out and say, well, I made that prediction before Thatcher Demko went down. I just said it earlier, and I stand by it. The Canucks don't win last night's game with Thatcher Demko net. I don't think.
The goalies... Like, you're going to give the edge to Demko, but the goalies almost cancel each other out because the way that Staros can stand on his head.
And Staros did play well last
game
night.
Game in and game out.
Yeah.
So based on that, you're giving the edge pretty much to the Canucks the rest of the way. Yeah, maybe Nashville's depth in the bottom six might be a little bit better, but I don't know. The Canucks' offensive top-heavy talent is way better than Nashville's. The Canucks' defense, you know, you look at Quinn Hughes. I'm taking him over Roman Josi, even though Roman Josi's had a hell of a season. Their defensive depth is probably a lot better. I mean, you know, you look at Nikita Zadorov playing on a third pairing and the Preds have Luke Shen. I'm probably taking Zadorov every single day. So when you look at it, the edge for the two teams is the Vancouver Canucks. They should be able to beat this Nashville team with or without Thatcher Demko.
Absolutely. I don't know if I stick to my guns. I have to stick to my guns. So I'm still
saying. Yeah, you have to. I can't change it now. Yeah.
I know. I think... Can't remember if I said four or five for the Hurricane series, but I'm feeling good about that one. That was a heartbreaking loss.
Yeah, and they're going with Varlamov again. Like, not Sorokin, which is wild. I mean, I get it.
Is it wild that Patrick Waugh really likes Semyon Varlamov? Is it really that wild?
It's not. I guess not when you're from that standpoint, but he must really hate Sorokin, right? It's not so much that he likes Varlamov that much. It's he must just hate Sorokin. And that just has to be it, to be completely honest. And Patrick Waugh is going to do whatever the hell Patrick Waugh wants to do. And he's not in the business of making people happy. He's in the business of winning hockey games.
Well, and that's debatable.
That's exactly what he's going to try and do here.
He's going to try. Do you like Patrick Waugh as a coach? Do you think he's a good coach?
I haven't really talked to too many guys that have been coached by him. I think, his team made the playoffs. Yeah. And he took over halfway through the season in a move that absolutely no one saw coming. And his team's now in the postseason. So... He is a better coach than 16 other coaches in the National Hockey League because his team's in the playoffs.
David Quinn fired recent news.
But like that one didn't shock me because he knew something was going to give there. So it's going to be interesting to see who Mike Greer decides to hire.
The thing I come back to is like, what's that end of the year meeting like, you know what? We thought you were going to win six more games than you actually did. Yes, we knew we were going to be bad. Yes, we knew we were going to be at the bottom of the standings, but you got us way too close to Macklin Celebrini. What did they want from the head coach in San Jose? What did they want?
With that team.
Yeah. What were they hoping for?
Like, that team was bad.
That's a bad team. Kyle Burrows, power play one quarterback.
Yeah, but go get your money.
Oh, for sure. It's like what I said last night to Jeff Patterson, who was sitting beside me in the press box when Sam Lafferty drove the net and was leading the Canucks in shots in that period.
It is Sorokin and net tonight, not Varlamov. I thought you said Varlamov. Someone said Varlamov this morning.
I did a quick Twitter search and
Sorokin deserves
definitely
it.
Sorokin.
But back to what I was saying, it goes back.
Still hates him.
It goes back to what I was saying about Sam Lafferty leading the Canucks in shots. There, great news for Sam Lafferty. Bad news for the Canucks.
The old David Booth quote from Torts.
That's right. One of my favorite quotes of all time.
Who's also a good coach. His team just missed the playoffs.
John Tortorella, yeah.
Guys loved playing for that guy.
Yeah.
I definitely do know that.
Yep.
Deshaun Couturier.
You know what? I bet you, pissed off that few week or 2 weeks or month or whatever it was, I bet if you sat him down after the season was over and went out a really good in-depth conversation, he'd say that Torts is a good coach.
Yeah.
Sean Couturier also wasn't very good.
No.
You know what I mean? That's a down year.
All year.
That's a down year.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you have anything else you want to get to before we wrap up?
No.
Okay.
Bet 365.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay. Well, hang on. Before we get to that, I just want to take a quick sweep of anyone else Just to make sure. Nahr tried to get us on a name there. A Euro prospect.
We're not Rick Dollywall, Nahr. Yeah.
And you know what's funny? Nahr, that might have worked if you didn't say prospect in the third round, because I could fully believe that that's a real player, because I don't know anything about the prospects that are going in the third round.
Yeah, I don't touch prospects.
Yeah, so.
Play in the NHL.
You gotta go back to the drawing board there, Nahr. But that was close. That was close. I did read it in my head to see if I wanted to read it.
It's so nice, though, not to be spinning the old draft lottery simulator and looking up all these prospect lists for the upcoming draft here.
Yeah, but they get bounced in the first round. You're going to be looking at who's at 15 and 16, so, well, or 17.
No first rounder.
Yeah, only no first rounder this year. That's right.
Yeah, so we're going to be
and second rounder, I don't think. Yeah.
Yeah, no.
They're not doing anything in the draft until the fifth round.
Yeah. Okay. This one from Top G. We'll close it on this. It's a dark time in Canucks Twitter when Taj is the most positive account. He's really, yeah. For, hashtag first round bye, baby. Okay, let's get to our bet365 bet of. Do you want to do the read or do you want me to do the read?
You can do the read. Do you have it up?
Yeah, I do.
Perfect.
Okay, we're thrilled to welcome bet365 as our sports betting partner just in time for the 2024 playoffs. We'll be here with bet365 to provide you all the news, analysis, lines, and betting options for the playoffs until one team is left standing in June. Bet365 is the largest sports betting platform globally. Open an account with Bet365 today and use promo code VANBONUS to bet on a huge range of markets. So whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Here is our Bet365 bet of the day.
Okay, well, I got a couple. I'm taking the Boston Bruins and the Toronto Maple Leafs. So you look at that, did a little same game parlay that you can do on Bet365. Austin Matthews, 4 shots on goal. David Pastrnak, 3. Those two almost always hit. And the regulation time, Toronto Maple Leafs at home. I like this game. I like this. I think that they're going to come out at home absolutely flying. And the next one you can look at, it's anytime goal scores. The odds there are wild for the LA Kings and Edmonton Oilers. Zach Hyman had a hat trick. He's plus 130 to score. $10 gets you, I think it's like $23 gets you that. And the Connor McDavid plus 140 as well. So some interesting anytime goal scores. Now, if you want to have some luck on you and you think you want to cook a first time goal scorer, those are the ones that pay kind of wild.
Those are hard.
Grady, I do like the shots bets though. I think those ones in the playoffs.
You and me both.
Yeah, those ones in the playoffs do hit. Like Jack Eichel, 0.
Especially the milestones, right?
Yeah, the milestones. Jack Eichel, 0 last game. You know he's having 6.
Yeah.
Tonight. Like if I'm looking at something to go at on Bet365, I'm looking at Jack Eichel, 5 or more shots on milestones, and Zach Hyman, 4 more shots on milestones. What I'm doing. That's it.
There was a time when I was a next level hater on Bet365.
Why?
Not with the app. I was using the app to be an next level hater. I would talk bad about Pierre-Luc Dubois, and then I was taking under on shots, and I was sending it to Grady and Harmon, and I was like, guys, I'm so confident this is going to hit, and then it would hit. And then I did the same with Elias Lindholm. Just taking the under on guys' shots after I talked bad about them on the show, I was like, this is how I'm going to be at that next level. And I was. And if you want to be a next level hater,
just hop into our YouTube chat.
Yeah, hop into our YouTube chat. Yeah, that's right.
Degenerates bet on block shots. If you had Will Carrier last night, oh man.
If you had Jacob Trouba, you were okay. Yeah.
What did he have?
2. All he needed was 2.
That was a lot. Yeah.
All right. Thanks again to Bet365 for joining us for the playoffs. We'll close it out there for my co-host, Irv Kafar. Thanks so much for joining. Very nice.
Yep. Anytime.
Nice.
Let me know.
Today. And our technical producer, Grady Sass. My name is David Guadrelli. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Canucks Conversation. Canucks Conversation with Harmon and Quads, brought to you by the Toyota BZ4X. The BZ4X's fresh look is just an added bonus to its range, since you can drive up to 406 kilometers on a single charge. That's enough to get you from Kitsilano to Whistler or Kamloops to Kelowna and back, and still be home in time for the game. Now that's what we'd call electric. The best part, by choosing electric, you can get up to $11,000 in rebates and incentives. The BZ4X are in stock and selling quickly, so make sure to visit shoptoyota.ca or your local Pacific Toyota dealer to get your hands on one. Canucks Conversation is live Monday through Friday, every weekday at 2 p.m. over on the Canucks Army YouTube channel. Make sure you like, subscribe, and interact in the YouTube live chat every day with us, folks.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.